हरे कृष्णा एवरीवन, वेलकम टू चेतना अ मंथली गर्ल्स फेस्टिवल ऑफ जॉय। आई एम मानसी उपाध्याय, योर होस्ट फॉर टुडे। वी आर बैक विद आवर मंथली इवेंट विद अ वेरी वेरी इंटरेस्टिंग टॉपिक फॉर टुडे, दैट इज स्पिरिचुअल रोमांस। बट बिफोर दैट आई वांट टू थैंक ऑल द व्यूअर्स ऑन बिहाफ ऑफ अवर चेतना टीम फॉर देयर इनवैल्युएबल टाइम एंड लव। सो लेट्स स्टार्ट ओवर आवर कीर्तन by I request Shikha Mataji to lead the kirtan with the team. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Shikha Mataji. I think there is some issue with her network.
Shikha Mataji, she is not there in the stream. So
okay, fine.
So if you wanted to continue with Sita Mataji, you can continue because she is not there in the stream.
Okay, fine. Thank you. Hare Krishna, we'll just continue. We'll just start with our very interesting. Sorry?
Shikha came just now. So,
fantastic.
I'm adding her team in the stream, okay?
Oh, perfect.
Haribol. Sorry for this. I'm going to start Kirtan. Please join with us.
Yes, sure. Sir, please stand up.
Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Krishna. Thank you.
Jai Prabhupada Jai Prabhupada Jai Prabhupada Jai Prabhupada
Hari Bol, Jai, Saturday evenings like this, what can be better? It was really melodious, and as always, we all really enjoyed it. It was really beautiful. Thank you, Shikha Mataji and team. So now we are ready to drink the nectar from Har Grist Sita Mataji. So now I know we all are eager to hear on this intriguing topic, spiritual romance from Har Grist Sita Mataji. So let me introduce our guest speaker, Dr. Sudha Subramaniam. Dr. Sudha Subramaniam has pursued her career in dentistry and has completed her bachelor's degree in dental surgery from Nair Hospital and Dental College. Currently, she is working in the Bhaktivedanta Hospital as consultant dental surgeon. She has also done her MS in psychotherapy and counseling from the Institute of Behavior Management and Sciences, Chittoor. Mataji joined the ISKCON movement in May 1993 and has been a strict follower of Vedic rituals since then. She is serving as a counselor for the congregation at Radha Gopinath Temple since 1995. She is a regular speaker in our monthly Girls Youth Festival, that is Chetna, and has been guiding and inspiring so many young girls, like all of us. She has also been contributing articles for BTG magazines and RNS websites. Mataji plays a vital role as a chief coordinator of Bhaktivedanta Hospital Youth Foundation, which is the youth wing for the hospital working for social issues like AIDS prevention, organizing youth festival Inspiro, Yamuna Bachao, Say No to Plastic, Save Environment campaign, organizing youth nature trips to Wada Farm. Apart from such a busy schedule, she is also on the home front nurturing two amazing daughters, Janki and Vrindavaneshwari. So now, let's welcome Sita Mataji in our original, authentic, traditional way by chanting three times Hari Bol. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. So, before starting with the session, I request all our viewers to drop down their queries or doubts in the comment section. We'll be having a short Q&A session after the talk. So, for now, I'll sign off and I request Sita Mataji to please proceed. Hari Bol.
Thank you, Mansi. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, my dear friends. I would really like to start this beautiful Chetna festival with some prayers which I would like to first offer to my spiritual teachers. So please take this time to close your eyes and chant these mantras. Om Agyan Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Shri Advaita Gadhadha Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. I welcome all of you to this wonderful Chetna festival, the festival of awakening. And I'm sure all the girls and the boys must be very excited on the eve of a very, very special day which is coming tomorrow. That is the Valentine's Day. And Valentine's Day in the last few decades has become a very, very popular festival. Considered the festival of love, just like today we are celebrating the festival of awakening. So Valentine's Day has a very, very special place in young people's hearts. It's like a day when they express their love to their beloveds and their loved ones, and it's a day which you know, a lot of planning goes into it. And I know that there's a sales and there are so many gifts that people plan. There are so many things that people plan so much in ahead to do for their loved ones, to make their day special, to show them their love. Though, of course, that this festival has become more popular lately because the history goes that it's about a great saint called Saint Valentine. And ironically, this saint was a celibate monk, but this day is now celebrated as a day when couples really express their love. So this has really caught on into in the present generation. And though, of course, in Indian culture, where as we all know, India is the land of love, you know, it's like something which is part of our culture, our reet, you know. So it's nothing new for us, because people in India, we have always known that love is our culture and love is our religion, and love is something which is eternal for us, not just a day, you know, a special day when we have to express our love for our loved ones. We always feel that every day is a day where we can show our love to our loved ones. So, but still, this is the eve of Valentine's Day today, and we are going to discuss, obviously, the topic which we have chosen is spiritual romance, because as you all know, romance is in the air. And there's a famous saying which goes that love makes the world go round, you know, go around. It's like the power that can really make this world move. So that's what is the day today, tomorrow, that we are going to celebrate. And it's a romance is a word, I mean, it's a genre which I think which women and girls especially love the most. It's a genre, even you know, whether it's films or movies or books. And romance is one genre which is always very attractive to the hearts of women and young girls. So romance is something which everyone is looking for, and that's how the whole $100 billion industry, the Bollywood and Hollywood, is really making money, because they are really catering to this need that we all have, you know, that for romance. So romance is an attractive topic for whether it's women, men, you know, for all ages. And at one time there used to be novels, but of course the times of reading novels are gone, and the young people now are no longer reading novels. They're more on their iPads or on their phones, Wattpads, you know, they are reading on Kindles, or maybe, you know, there are different ways how, you know, it's accessed nowadays. In fact, there are, I've heard of some very, very new things which never existed in our times, the way how the young people are now connecting, you know, to each other. There are some websites, you know, to find love in this world. It's become completely a industry, you know, because that's how people are making money. So because that's like a need which drives people, you know, so it's quite understandable. But let us understand this topic, spiritual romance. I know it's quite an intriguing topic because we have heard of different kind of romance, but spiritual romance is something which we have not really discussed. And so let us first talk about romance, like how we have known in this world. You know? So let us understand from our point of view what we have in our experience. And we see this in movies. You know, there are movies made, you know, and usually you see these are the movies which are most popular, you know, and on these stories which have been through, in every culture there are these stories, these romantic stories of love or star-crossed lovers, as they say, you know, where, you know, you see Romeo and Juliet, it's like they're star-crossed lovers, you know, and every culture has their own story which people are so drawn to, Romeo and Juliet, then Heer and Ranja, Shiri and Farhad. It's like you see the whole movie, you know, you can, or the whole story, you can see the intense emotion, you know, that the hero and the heroine, they have. And the whole story is how they struggle and they fight against society, their loved ones, their families, you know, and they reject society, and their only one intense desire is to just be with their lover. And, you know, and the last scene is like, you know, they meet together and they are, you know, they, and then the message comes, they live happily ever after. I really seriously wonder that, you know, after these lovers meet, and if you see their lives 10 years later, after they are married, I don't know whether it will really look as glamorous as it looks and attractive as it looks in the movies. It would probably be a funny scene where probably Romeo is pot-bellied getting groceries from the shop and Juliet is cooking at home, and she's, they are fighting for, you know, I'm just painting a funny picture, but, you know, it, how would the movie be? Would it sell, you know, like if you show the reality that after the lovers meet and their romance is successful, as you say, you know, the reality is that the future is not really as we think, you know, because what we see in movies or what we see in these novels is something which is very interesting to our senses, you know, because it really makes us feel that, you know, yes, there is something like romance, you know, in this world, which is so sweet and this is so nice. There's a funny saying, you know, which I heard from Gaur Gopal Prabhu, that it's love at first sight and divorce at first fight. I mean, the situation has become like that, that love has become so cheap, you know, nowadays, is that it's so easy. So people really, we don't understand the real value of what the real meaning of love is. And there's another funny joke which I heard from one Maharaj, you know, is that how love in this world, in the beginning, everything is so rosy, you know, the word rosy is very, you know, ironic, because, you know, they, when they want to describe love, you know, you say, oh, love is like a rose, you know, or you compare your beloved to a rose. But, you know, the rose comes along with thorns. So we have to understand that it's just a matter of time. Then you will have to face the thorns also. And that's the reality. And one Maharaj used to say, in the beginning, the man always is glorifying the woman and saying, oh, you're beautiful. Your face is like the moon. You are like Chandramukhi. And then after some years pass, you know, and when they are married, then she gets upset or angry. He said, oh, you're angry, but you know, you are like, your face is now like Surajmukhi, like a sunflower when you get upset. And then as more years go pass by, and then there is so much irritation, and when the romance has just evaporated, and when she gets angry, then he says, now you have become like Jwalamukhi, you know, like a volcano. So it's like constantly changing. It never remains same. It's just that we think, you know, in the beginning, it is very, very attractive, because that's how the relationships in this world are. So we know that love is something which we are all looking for, and it's easy to fall in love, but to sustain it, it takes a lot of hard work. So this is the reality. So we can learn this from our scriptures. You know, there are such beautiful stories which teach us this very important point, how in this world romance can be just very superficial, or it can be based on something which is just based on our senses, something which is bewildering us, and how bewildering it can be. And we can learn this from a wonderful story from the life of a great acharya, and his name is Bilwa Mangal Thakur, and he is so famous for his beautiful devotional songs that he has written. Especially Chaurashtakam is one of the famous bhajans which he has written. But in his previous life, you will be surprised to know that when he was young, he was obsessed, and he was completely in love with a woman, a prostitute, and he was so in love with her that he would go and meet her every day. And the addiction, you know, was so much that even if one day he wouldn't go to see her, he would be restless, like as if a fish out of water. And unfortunately, his father died, and on the day of his funeral, his father's funeral pyre is burning, and his heart was burning with desire to go and see his beloved. And he actually escaped from there. He escaped, he ran away, and it was raining the whole day, and there was a storm which came. And when he reached the river, the whole river was overflowing, and there was no boats in sight. So he was so desperate to see her that he jumped into the water. He decided to swim and cross over the whole flooded river. Can you imagine? And when he was swimming, when he was just about to drown, he just caught hold of, he thought it was a log that is floating in the river. He caught hold of that, and he just crossed the river holding on to that log. And when he reached on the shore on the other side, when he looked down, he realized that it was a dead body, a corpse. And he was actually holding on to the corpse to cross over the river. He just got completely terrified, but then he just started again running towards the house of his beloved. And as soon as he reached her house, he started banging on the door, but because of the storm, she couldn't hear, and he was so desperate to meet her that he ran behind to reach up to her balcony. And he was climbing, and he saw a kind of a vine or a creeper, a tree. So he just got hold of this. He thought it's a vine, a creeper. And with the support of that, he reached, climbed up. And when he turned behind, he saw that it was actually a venomous snake. And he ran with such desperation. He was completely drenched and disheveled. And he reached and he ran and went into her room. and he embraced her and he told her, you know, that, you know, without her, he just cannot live and he has to see her. And he told her how desperately, you know, he wanted to see her, that he crossed the river with the corpse and he climbed the balcony, you know, holding on to a snake. And she was completely shocked. And she told him, my God, you know, you have such intense desire to just see a mortal like me, you know. Imagine if that same intense desire if you had to see. So liberating for you. It would actually liberate you from the cycle of birth and death. This was like the words of wisdom which came from the mouth of this woman completely pierced the heart of Bilwa Mangal Thakur, and he realized, you know, that he was so attached, you know, he was so attached to her, but his attachment was placed, you know, was misplaced. Rather, if that attachment, if he would have shown for God, for Krishna, you know, it would have been completely life transforming for him. So these words completely transformed his life. So we see that, you know, stories like this explain to us, you know, the situation of love in this world. You know, it can completely bewilder you and it can completely, you know, we also see that it is just skin deep. In the present situation, in the modern situation today, it has become so superficial that people are attracted to each other just by the externals. As we say, love is just skin deep, material love. So Srila Prabhupada gives this and explains this through a very, very powerful story of a young girl, you know, who was very, very beautiful. She was so beautiful. Her skin was like, you know, so fair, and she had such beautiful features. But she was also very wise. You know, she was a very spiritually awakened person, and she was very aware. And there were hundreds of people who were, you know, mad about her and were attracted to her. But she would never encourage anyone. There was this one person who became so madly in love with her beauty that he was so insistent, and he just kept running after her, trying to impress her, trying to woo her, win over her through gifts and through all his words of, you know, poetic words. He would try to impress her in every way possible. And she would never encourage, and she would try to discourage him, you know, like keep him at arm's length. But he was completely, you know, very, very insistent. So one day she decided that I really must, you know, teach him. So she actually called him and met him, and she said to him that I really want you to come after a week. Said, you are very attracted to me, I understand that, but I would like to call you and meet me after a week, and after a week we will see whether you really love me or not. And he was so happy. He said, yes, you know, you think my love will go away in just a week? How could you even question that? Definitely I have the patience to wait for a week, you know, as long as you are ready to, you know, to accept me. So he was very happy and he blissfully left. And 1 week, you can imagine what his situation was. He was waiting patiently, you know, and really making all these beautiful dreams, you know, in his mind of how he would really be so happy with her. And he waited patiently for 1 week. And for 1 week, this wise lady, she went through a very, very rigorous and very, very intense purgation, you can say, you know, where she took strong purgatives and laxatives. You know, these powerful medicines which actually made her vomit continuously the whole day and pass motions the whole day. She took these very strong medicines. And after a week, you know, when he came, he was so excited. He knocked on the door and she opened the door. And as soon as he opened the door, he thought that she's actually a servant. And she said, move away, go and call my beautiful lady whom I'm so attracted to. He said, call her immediately. I'm just waiting to see her. And this lady immediately told him that I am the same lady. And he just couldn't believe his eyes. Because this lady was nothing like what the beautiful lady looked like earlier. Because she was completely emaciated. Her hair had lost its luster. Her cheeks were all drawn inside. And her skin had lost its luster. You can imagine 1 week of vomiting and 1 week of loose motions. How weak she must be. So she had lost all her good beauty and her looks. And he was so shocked when she said that. He said, I cannot believe this, that you are that same lady. I was so attracted to this beauty. She was like flowing beautiful nectar when I looked at her. She said, you want to see that beauty? Yes, that beauty is still there if you want to see. And she took him inside and she opened these pots one by one. And there was this most abominable smell that came out of these pots because she carefully collected the vomit and the motions and she filled in these spots. Can you imagine that? And he was completely shocked, you know. And she told the beauty what you were seeing has all come out of my body and it is filled in these spots. This is the beauty that you were attracted to. This is the liquid beauty, she said to him. And he was completely shocked. And she told him that the beauty that you were attracted to, you know, the beautiful skin, the wonderful hair, the body that you were attracted to was nothing but this mucus and this vomit and this pus and these motions and stools. All this, the material body is just made up of this. And that is what you were attracted to. So, this was like a very stark, shocking experience because for him, he finally realized, you know, that love is not just skin deep. Because if it is true love, it has to stand the test of time. You know, we should be able to really sustain that. And he realized that just attraction of the body cannot be, you know, the reality. That's not real. It is just a temporary satisfaction of the senses. It's a temporary titillating of the senses which in the name of love, in the name of romance, is something which is so powerfully attracting all of us. But we have to learn or we have to understand and realize this through these wonderful stories that there is something more, there is something beyond the body, something beyond just what we are so attracted by in this material world. So Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita very, very, step by step how we are bewildered, you know, how we are attracted in this material world. There is a beautiful sequence of shlokas which Krishna tells to Arjuna how in this material world we get completely bewildered and attached to this so-called material love. So the shloka, I will just chant it and then we can discuss about it. So the shloka goes, Dhyayato Vishayan Pumsa Sangaste Shupajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kama Kamat Prodho Vijayate. So this is the first verse. It speaks about how we become attached, you know, to anything or any person. How it all begins. It starts with Dhyayato Vishayan Pumsa. We just focus our minds. We start thinking about the person. And then attachment arises. We become attached to the person. We become attached to such an extent that we want to just be with that person. Dhyayato Vishayan Pumsa Sangat Steshu Pajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kama. And once we are united with the person, then obviously there is material lust. The material lust which is, you know, which binds us or entangles us to such an extent that it bewilders us, bewilders our minds. You can see in the newspapers, you know, you can read stories of so many stories in newspapers we read of lives, in people's lives, how lust can really completely bewilder people's minds, and you know how there are so many crimes that are committed because of the lust. There are so many shocking stories of how lives are destroyed because of this lust. And the next verse then speaks about Krodhat Bhavati Sammoha Sammoha Smriti Vibhrama Smriti Bhramsa Buddhi Nasha Pranashyati. Now this verse is very, very explanatory. It's because, as I was talking about the crimes, is like the lust, this intense material lust, when it is not satisfied or for some reason, or as we were discussing, in this world everything is so temporary, nothing lasts. The love which was so intense in the beginning suddenly evaporates, you know, just like the story of the liquid beauty. We realize that it completely changes. So people are so frustrated by that, that when the lust is not fulfilled, it brings about such anger. And we have seen stories of how people, women have been, you know, acid has been thrown on their face, and then there are stories where there are women attacked sometimes. And then it's not just the women, even we hear stories of how men have been destroyed by women whose lust is not fulfilled, and they can completely destroy a person's lives in so many ways. So this is what happens when lust is not satisfied. Anger comes like a volcano, and that volcano can completely destroy the life. So that's how powerful anger is. And when anger comes, there is complete bewilderment and the intelligence is lost. And once the intelligence is lost, buddhi nasha pranashyati, then there is complete downfall of the living entity. So this is how Krishna is beautifully explaining in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, that how love in this material world, if it is based on just senses, it can completely destroy. It can bewilder you to such an extent that you lose your God-given intelligence. And we have always heard these kind of stories, especially in young girls. You know, we hear stories how in college, or you know, that they become so bewildered and they are exploited to such an extent that their lives are completely destroyed. So we have to understand that what is the thing which is really bringing us to that state? What is propelling us? It's only our senses. It's because our senses are so strong. They are just pulling us. Because that is, you know, it is pulling us towards these objects or these persons, you know, because of our lust for them. So the Shastras, the Srimad Bhagavatam explains, you know, describes these senses as, you know, how each sense is, each one of our senses is so powerful that they can draw you and they can completely bewilder you. And there are beautiful examples given in Srimad Bhagavatam to compare each of our senses, you know, how it can completely, and you can see with these examples, especially the example of the musk deer, you know, how we are searching for this love all around us. You know, if you go to see each person in this world has this basic need to love and to be loved. It's the natural need in every living entity. But we are looking for this love outside of us, just like the musk deer. The example of Srimad Bhagavatam gives about a musk deer is a special kind of deer which has this beautiful fragrance which comes out of its own body. But the musk deer is unaware of it. His sense of smell is so strong and he's looking for that fragrance. The sense of smell is pulling the musk deer in all directions. He's looking for that smell. Where is that beautiful fragrance smell coming from? And he's searching and searching and searching. He runs here, he runs there, all around the forest, and then ultimately he falls down dead, exhausted. But actually, this beautiful fragrance is coming from inside his own body. Similarly, love is something which is there within our hearts. But we are looking for it desperately outside because it is our need. We are trying to fulfill it through material things or through material relationships. So we are just like that musk deer. We are looking for that love, but that love is deep in our hearts. So another example of the senses is the eyes, you know, how the glowworm is attracted to the fire that is burning so brightly. His sense of the sight pulls him to go into the fire, and his, within seconds he is burned to ashes. So love is like that, you know, it's like a burning fire. The material love is actually pulling us, attracting us towards it, like this glowworm is attracted to fire. But material love cannot satisfy us. It is just like putting fuel in that fire. It just keeps burning more. It doesn't quench that thirst. It doesn't quench that fire. Another example is this, the sense of touch. Sense of touch is what drives the lust within people. So the example is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam of an elephant. Elephant is such a powerful animal. It is so powerful you cannot capture it. A tiny human being cannot catch an elephant, but yet we see elephants in circuses and zoos. They are kept. How are they caught? How can you catch a powerful elephant? And they catch this powerful elephant just because of this sense of touch, this need that the elephant has for the to satisfy his lust or sense of touch. They capture him by attracting him by a she-elephant who is tied there, and the elephant goes mad with lust when he sees the elephant, she-elephant, and he comes running towards her, and on the way they dig a pit for the elephant to be caught, and the elephant falls in the pit and that's how the elephant is captured. And the last sense is the sense of taste or mouth or tongue. The fish, you know, fish is a very powerful example how the fish is caught in the hook. So all these examples, if you can see, you know, that each of our senses are bewildering us or attracting us towards this material relationships or this material love or this feeling of, or this need of love that we have. You know, we want to try to satisfy that. But unfortunately, you know, we spend our lifetimes, you know, till the time we are, you know, blessed to get the right kind of association, the right kind of knowledge, you know, from this beautiful scriptures like Srimad Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna very beautifully explains to us that how we have to dovetail our need, this need for love, how we can fulfill this need for this love by, instead of looking it outside, we have to just look inside our own hearts. A beautiful story, you know, which teaches us how we can satisfy this need for love, this need for a loving relationship that we have. You know, the beautiful story of romance that we learn from Srimad Bhagavatam is the beautiful story of Rukmini and Lord Krishna. How she used this, the need for love that she had in her heart, you know, how she really expressed her love in such a beautiful way. You know, in Srimad Bhagavatam, the story is given how Rukmini, a young girl, she also was very innocent and beautiful girl. And the way she would hear about Krishna, whom she fell in love with, was amazing. It was just by hearing his glories. So Narad Muni used to come to visit them, you know, and he would tell these beautiful pastimes of Lord Krishna, and he would describe Lord Krishna and his beautiful his beauty and his beautiful pastimes that he did in Vrindavan, and how he played with the gopis, and all these pastimes that he would narrate of Lord Krishna, Rukmini would hear with such rapt attention that just by hearing, she developed such attachment, you know, to Krishna. Just like dhyayato vishaya pumsa. So instead of focusing our attention on material things, Rukmini, she focused all her attention and her attachment to Krishna. She would just hear about Krishna, and just by hearing, she fell in love with Krishna, and to such an extent that she became so convinced that she would just marry only Krishna and no one else. And she was imagining the day when she would, you know, get to meet Krishna face to face. And she expressed her desire, and her father almost, you know, even agreed that to get her married to Krishna. But unfortunately, her elder brother Rukmini, he had his best friend Shishupal, and Shishupal was also in love with Rukmini, so he wanted to get married to Rukmini. So he convinced her brother, and her brother put his foot down and he said, no way, I want my sister to get married only to Shishupal. That's when she panicked, like any other girl would be, you know, like once you give your heart to someone, it's, you know, she really panicked. So Rukmini immediately, she got you know, so scared. She said, I have to somehow pass this message to Krishna. You know, somehow I have to express my love to Krishna. He just doesn't even know. And she was really wanting Krishna to know that she really loves him. And she expressed her love to Krishna in a letter. Can you imagine? This must be the first love letter which is recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam. And it is in such detail. It's like a love letter to God, you know, that she wrote. It is a love letter to Krishna. And it is such a beautiful letter that even till today, there are great saints and renunciates who study this letter and they chant the verses, you know, of this beautiful letter that she wrote, you know, where she expressed her love for Krishna. And she expressed in such a way where she said that my love for you has just originated, you know, just by hearing about you. As soon as I heard the beautiful glories of all your beautiful pastimes, your wonderful qualities, they just entered my ears and completely, you know, I have fallen in love with you. And I really want to give up all my attachment to this material world, to my religions, to, I just want you to come and save me and protect me and take me away from here. Because she expressed that the only thing that can really give her that sense of protection or sense of shelter is if she could be with Krishna. So she expressed her love in that way. So, and of course we know how Lord Krishna, as soon as he received her letter, you know, he immediately responded, and within one day he reached her and he rescued her, and he eventually married her, and you know, their romance was successful, you know. So we see that this need for love, you know, is actually coming from within our soul, and that need is actually to connect back with Krishna. But unfortunately, because we are conditioned souls, conditioned with all these senses which are going wild in this material world, totally distracted, as Radhanath Maharaj says, there are so many weapons of mass distraction today in this world, you know, there are weapons of mass distraction which completely distract us and attract us to material things. But from this story of Rukmini, we can see that how if we just focus our need for love and if we just focus our attachment to Krishna, which is actually the real need of the soul, our soul is craving for that spiritual romance with Krishna. We really want that connection with Krishna, and we are looking for it. But unfortunately, because we are still not connected within our heart with Krishna, we are looking for that love everywhere. We are looking for it from external things. So I was really thinking that, you know, that every woman wants a person who will completely understand her, completely satisfy her emotions, and completely, you know. But in this material world, Rukmini also writes this point in her letter, and she says this, you know, that which man in this world who's made up of pus, mucus, vomit, all these material elements, material combinations of things, how can a man who is made up of these material elements can really satisfy my heart, you know, can satisfy the need of the soul? It's obvious that the need of the soul, which is spiritual love, can be fulfilled only by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. So Rukmini is teaching us by her example that how this need for love, which we are looking for outside through all these different relationships that we are trying to get into, you know, which, you know, there are so many breakups and there are so many relationships, and then one after the other, then there are marriages which, you know, don't last. We see all this. It's, if you see, it is just the need for this, for a person who can really understand you and can really connect your heart and satisfy your heart. This is what we are looking for. But Rukmini is teaching us that the only one person who can really satisfy us is Krishna. And He is right there, sitting in our heart. It's like the musk deer looking everywhere, but it's actually just within Himself. So Lord Krishna, our supreme lover, is just sitting there right in our own hearts. The closest person ever existing near us is Krishna Himself in the heart as the Paramatma. It's just that we are not aware of that state. We are just not aware. And we are not turning our attention to Him yet. And He's waiting patiently. And He's waiting patiently for us to really turn to Him and to connect in this spiritual loving relationship back with Him. So, spiritual romance is nothing but starting the process of turning our attachment and love towards Krishna, the Supreme Person who is situated in our heart. And the simplest way in this age of mass distraction that we are in the middle of, you know, the only way that we can really connect with Krishna in our heart is through the chanting of His beautiful holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Because Krishna is there in His name, and we have to just experience this beautiful loving relationship with the holy name, because that's non-different from Krishna. And gradually, as we chant the holy name, our hearts will get purified and our senses will get purified, and gradually our senses will be able to focus on this one loving relationship, this one romance that is still waiting to happen, this spiritual romance that is between the self, that is the eternal living entity, the eternal soul, and Lord Krishna, the Paramatma in our heart. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If there's any questions, we can start taking the questions now. Is there any questions? Hare Krishna. Is there any questions?
Yes, Hari Bol. Mataji, that was really a rejuvenating session. I really didn't wanted you to stop, like that ocean of nectar from your lotus mouth. Dandavat Pranam, Mataji. Thank you so much for that wonderful session of love. I really love the thing. Actually, I agree that people have taken love so cheaply, and they are into the rebound effect, that is the breakups and patch-ups, and it is just continuously happening. And it is true that people are really in search of, actually the need of the soul is to love and to be loved. That's why they are into this rebound effect. Exactly. So I also took this, that how less can take one to complete bewilderment if we get control, if we give control to the senses, and as we are trying to satisfy our senses, so deep inside souls only need is to love and to be loved. Yes. As you gave the example of musk deer. That is really very right. One second, there is some issue. So we'll just take some questions if there are. Yeah, there's one question. By Sneha Gupta, Mataji. Mataji, how can we overcome lust attraction towards boys?
So it's like, how can we overcome lust attraction to the opposite sex? Obviously, it's girls to boys and boys to girls, or even same sex nowadays. So, yes, so lust is something which is a very, very powerful emotion which each one of us is struggling with and experiencing it at every second. And the realistic thing is that anyone who thinks that, you know, that we are not affected by lust is really foolish, because the reality is that lust is the most powerful. In fact, that is the main reason why we are in this material world in the first place. You know, we are here because of this material lust that we had to enjoy our senses separate from Krishna. So that is the main reason why a living entity enters into the material world in the first place. We are here because we have this lust for enjoying our senses separate from Krishna. This lust can manifest in different ways. Okay, you are talking about how can I overcome the lust towards boys. But that's just one aspect of our lust. Our lust can be expressed in so many different ways. Our lust to enjoy, wealth in this world, comforts, luxuries, beautiful material things that we want to possess, then we are the lust for name, fame. So all these things are just manifestations of our lust. And the reason why we are in this material world is because of this lust. So please try to understand that we have to start the process of dovetailing our senses, our lusty senses, in the service of Krishna. Because since time immemorial, all that we have done is just being lusty about material things for our own sense gratification, for our own sense satisfaction. That's all. Even the attraction to the opposite sex is for what? So that we are selfish, we want to satisfy our own senses, our own needs. So the process we need to begin is that slowly engage our senses in the service of Krishna. Once we start offering our senses as a service to Krishna, we engage our senses in the service of Krishna, then we will see that gradually this demon of lust which is there within us, we are able to gradually overcome that. But it's a process. So the process of bhakti, devotional service, is nothing but engaging our senses in the service of Krishna. So this powerful method of chanting the holy name is so beautifully designed that it engages each of our senses in the service of Krishna. Our mouth we can use to chant the holy name. Our ears we can hear the holy name. With our eyes we can see the beautiful form of the Lord. With the nose we can smell the beautiful incense that is offered to Krishna. And our sense of touch we can engage by touching the mala. So that way, when we purify our senses, then you will see that the lust will gradually come into control. And as we engage our senses to connect with Krishna, our love will gradually awaken in our heart. The natural love that we have for Krishna. And then we will not need this external love to satisfy us. But it's a process which we have to begin. Thank you very much. I hope this answers your question.
There's another question from Tripul Rai. Hare Krishna Mataji, there are 5 relationships one should assign with Lordship. What relationship should one establish when one is in school or college, and which one is best?
Yes, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu talks about 5 kinds of relationship that we can, with which we can connect to the Lord. One is in the mood of a servant, serving the Lord. Then it is, one is in the mood of a friendship, as a friend of the Lord. Then the mood of a parent, that is a loving parental relationship. Then one relationship is of just servitude, like a servant. And the last is a loving, beloved relationship, relationship of which is known as Madhurya Ras, a loving relationship. So, we are not really that spiritually advanced for really aspiring for these relationships, personal relationships with the Lord. But when we are young, studying in school and college, the best way to connect with the Lord is in the mode of service, considering oneself as a servant of the Lord. That is the most easy. It's something which comes natural for the living entity. Because, as we know that we are spirit souls and we are jiva and we are part of Krishna. We are anu, atomic. And Krishna is vibhu. He is complete and whole. And he is supreme. So just as we know that a part has to serve the whole, right? We are a part of our family, so we serve our family. We are part of this country, so we serve our country. A part always has to serve the whole. So the relationship that we have with the Supreme Lord in our heart is the relationship of service. So that is something which comes very naturally for us. So that is the best relationship that we can aspire for now, in our present situation. Thank you.
The next question is from Driti Samanta. Hare Krishna Mataji, how can we as a student serve Lord Krishna, and how can I convey my parents to come towards bhakti life?
Very nice question. So as I was saying, as a student, our responsibility is to study and be a good student. But the difference is that we, as devotees of Lord Krishna, if you really want to please Krishna, then we dedicate our study or our degree or whatever we are studying for as a service to Krishna. and understand in our heart that some way we have to use our knowledge, whatever knowledge you are getting, in the service of Krishna. How you can spiritualize your life by dedicating the knowledge that you are acquiring as a student in the service of Krishna. That's how we should dovetail our present responsibilities as a student to Krishna. And bhakti actually means that we attract our families towards Krishna. If you do your responsibilities as a student and your responsibilities towards your parents, if you do that very nicely, that will itself attract them to Krishna. Because when you are a good son or you are a good daughter to your parents, and when they see that there is such a beautiful change in you after you taking to the process of bhakti, that itself will attract them to Krishna consciousness. So if you really want to bring your parents to the path of bhakti, then you have to do your be a good student and be a good daughter, and gradually by your love which you give them genuinely, that will attract them to Krishna consciousness. Thank you.
Beautiful. Tricky, I hope it answered your question. Now the next is Dinkal Sheth. Hare Krishna Mataji, Danvat Pranam. How can we control our sleep? How can we gradually reduce our sleep timing so that we can engage ourselves more and more in devotional service?
That's a question which is, sleep is something which is a need of the body. So we have to understand that every person has a different need for sleep according to the body's requirements. So you must find out what is your need and how many hours of sleep you need to be fresh. And this, you don't need to reduce your sleep timings, because in this world, if you want to live in this world, follow Krishna consciousness, we have a very good balance. We cannot sleep too little and we cannot sleep too much. So please try to understand that in the path of bhakti, you need to find out what is your need for sleep, and then accordingly you see that you get sleep those many hours, because as a student you need to be very fresh for your studies. And the next thing is that to engage in devotional service, what you must try to do is regulate your time in such a way that you have enough time for your devotional service of Krishna consciousness. The sadhana, we have to try to keep a time specially for that. And that time is best to keep it in the morning before, the day begins, and when, before you are, distracted with other things. So if you just do this much, have a good night's sleep and keep time for your sadhana, I think you'll be able to progress very nicely in devotional service. Thank you.
Okay, so next we have Shreya Tripathi. Mataji, how to pacify the aggressive behavior after the provoking situation?
Very good question, Shreya. Even I'm struggling with that, but what I have heard from seniors and our spiritual teachers, we learn that the aggressive behavior, after provoking situations is something which happens naturally, you know, we all are struggling with that. But definitely I know one thing is that we can gradually reduce it by becoming aware of it. First, you become aware of your aggressive reaction to provoking situations. We become aware of it, and you understand that if you are behaving in an aggressive way, then you have to become aware of it and then apologize, or you know, try to rectify the situation. And every time you do that, you will gradually learn how to respond rather than react to the provoking situation. So it is a process which comes with practice, but it begins with awareness. Once you become aware of how you are aggressively reacting every time that you are provoked, when you become aware of it, then gradually you will be able to control. So the sadhana which we are talking about, the morning sadhana, is nothing but, you know, as we chant, we are able to control our reactions, you know, time. We are able to gradually respond rather than just react. So this doesn't happen in a day. It takes a lot of time and practice. Thank you very much.
And this is the last question. There are many more questions, but we are out of time. So we'll just take last question. Vibhu, Hare Krishna Mataji, we have knowledge that whatever attraction in this material world and love can only be with Lord. Even then we fall in sense gratification. Why and what can we do to overcome?
Very, very true, Vibhu. It is very, very true. What you're saying is that there is so much knowledge that we are receiving through these beautiful scriptures, you know, hearing from, but attraction in this material world is very, very powerful. Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita that mama maya duratyaya, the maya that he has only created is very, very difficult to overcome. But then he also says, Mam eva ye prapatyante, mayam etam tarantite. But anyone who really engages in my devotional service, offers all love and homage unto Krishna, can gradually overcome this effect of maya. So, what we need to do is just have faith in these words of Krishna and understand that by cultivating the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, just by studying the Bhagavad Gita, we can gradually understand this phenomenon that we are stuck in. We are totally distracted by the attractions in this material world, which is a fact. And we keep falling into this, you know, this need for sense gratification. But the process of devotional service, the process of bhakti, is so powerful that if we just engage in the process of bhakti as given by our acharyas, the process that they have given, which is waking up in the morning, chanting the holy name, reading the Bhagavad Gita, engaging in kirtan, in the association of devotees, being always in the association of devotees, all these things are very, very simple things which we actually can do in our life. And if we just follow these things, then you will see that your whole day is, you know, engaged in devotional service, and gradually you will see that the attractions of the material world, which used to be such a driving force in your life earlier, you know, the sense gratification which was pulling you, you will see that the effect is completely reduced. and you see that you are able to not only overcome it, but you actually develop a higher taste. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Vishaya Vinivartante Niraharasya Dehina Raso Varjam Somritakaya Kalpate. Means if you develop taste, or you know, taste the nectar of devotional service through the association of devotees, then automatically the lower tastes, those lower tastes of sense gratification will gradually go away. So now we should just think of one thing, that how we can engage our senses in devotional service. How fast or how soon we are able to overcome the lower senses will depend on, you know, the process of bhakti. It may take some time. But don't beat yourself about it. Don't blame yourself about it, because it is natural. But we need to just keep to the process. Stick to the process of devotional service. And just by that, gradually, we will be able to overcome this need for sense gratification. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. So it was really beautiful taking all the questions from our viewers. There are many more questions, and it was really good to see that there were many people trying to ask their questions and really trying to open up. So yes, we really welcome all those people. So now we'll end today's event with a kirtan by Shikha Mataji again, and then we'll close today.
I would really like to do some kirtan if possible.
Sure.
I really want to do some kirtan, so just give me 1 minute. Sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes, but your video is not visible.
Now? Yeah, now I can see. Are you able to see me now?
No, Mataji, your video is still not visible. Yes, now it's visible.
Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami. Thank you.
Mataji, thank you for the surprising kirtan. That was really, really a flood of bliss. I think those surprises should be at least said prior so that we can really be, you know, ready for such wonderful bliss. Thank you, really, really thank you. That was such a blissful kirtan.
Thank you for this opportunity. I'm sorry, Shikha, that I really wanted to do this kirtan. Thank you very much, and I want to thank everyone who's watching this Chetna Festival show. And please do come for every Chetna, and do visit our Facebook page, Chetna Festival @ IYS Chetna Festival on Instagram and Facebook, and connect with whichever programs and lectures that we organize. Yes.
Yes, so that almost answered I don't know, but yeah, someone's question. But yeah, please, you can check out Aiwa's Chaitna Festival on Facebook and Insta. There we will send or post some notifications. So you can just check out those sites. So with this, I'll thank Sita Mataji, I'll thank Shikha Mataji, and also the Chaitna organizers for making this possible, for their invaluable time, I would say. And I'm sure everybody had an exemplary Saturday evening. So let's just wrap for today, or call this a day. On behalf of Chaitna team, I just wrap for today's event. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol.